Eternal Security by A.W. Pink, 198 pages. About the author. Arthur W. Pink was the author of numerous books on biblical and theological issues. He was well known for teaching and defending Calvinism. Table of Contents. 1. Introduction. 2. Its importance. 3. Its nature. 4. Its marvel. 5. Its springs. 6. Its blessedness. 7. Its perversion. 8. Its safeguards. 9. Its opposition. 10. Its benefits. 11. Conclusion. Summary. Chapter 1. Introduction. The perseverance of the saints is the capstone truth of Reformed soteriology. Arminians look at this doctrine as a disincentive to holiness, but it is actually a great spur to walking closely with the Lord. It gives great hope, encouragement, and strength. There's a great deal of erroneous and harmful teaching that glibly asserts, once saved, always saved. And with that position, we have no sympathy. Where there is no fellowship with the Lord, and where there is no desire for righteousness and no hatred of sin, there is no salvation. Scripture teaches very clearly that we can know a believer by the fruit of their lives. God will give his children sustaining strength as they fight the good fight of faith, but they must fight. Christians are born through the new birth, and they submit themselves to the yoke of Christ. God's righteous right hand upholds them, and they resist the temptations of the flesh. It is God who empowers them, but they use the means that he provides, and they avoid what is ruinous. Chapter 2. Its Importance. This doctrine of perseverance is a vital part of the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. To reject it is to diminish the honor of the triune God, as well as to forfeit the foundation of comfort and assurance. God loves his people and predestined them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Christ redeems them and intends to present them faultless before the throne. The Spirit regenerates them and leads them. The triune God will not fail in the design of salvation. They will not be defeated, disappointed, and disgraced. Scripture is filled with the promises that God will keep his saints from falling and being destroyed. And we see all through Scripture how God's sovereign power is at work to bring good from evil and fulfills his word. Scriptures does not present God as hoping to heal and save his people. It presents him as finishing and accomplishing the work of redemption. Chapter 3. Its Nature. In the past, godly theologians were able to present the positive framework of this biblical doctrine. But this work will focus more on countering the unfair caricature of eternal security that is often presented by its opponents. Sadly, many evangelists have given people the impression that if they simply say a prayer or make a decision, they are guaranteed to go to heaven no matter what their life is like subsequently. One of the problems that generates misunderstanding is that terms are not often defined with precision, so straw men are produced. Scripture teaches that a true saint will keep their way, but nobody reaches their destination if they are not on the right road. Even the word saint means to be set apart and holy. They are elected, redeemed, and regenerated, so God will keep them to the end. Not everyone who makes a profession of faith is genuinely saved, and not everyone who appears to have grace truly has it. There are people who experience some measure of guilt and conviction, have some spiritual experience, and desire heaven, but not put their faith in Christ. Some who have true grace can backslide, and the comforts of grace can be eclipsed. Spiritual perseverance entails maintaining our profession and walking with the Lord according to his word. True believers have their affections ordered by God's truth. They maintain holy affections and holy actions. The perseverance in these things is necessary for salvation, and God empowers his saints so that they persevere successfully. When a person knows God, they will be saved all the way to the very end. Chapter 4. Its Marvel. Too much of the attention devoted to this doctrine has gone into controversy, rather than into marveling and glorifying God for this wonderful truth. The doctrine of perseverance showcases God's love, power, and truth. He is a perfectly faithful God. When saints are kept safe through the fiercest storms and trials, what else can they do but praise God with all of their heart? We do not have the strength ourselves, but God empowers us to keep walking uphill. During drought, we can still flourish and be fruitful. When God chooses a people to bring him glory, he chooses the weak and the despised, so that all will know that what is accomplished is done through his power alone. There is a small remnant that God chooses, but by his Spirit they are more than enough for his purposes. Despite all the troubles of this world, God leaves his people in it to witness that his love is better than life. Every saint continues to battle their sin nature, but God's grace takes up its throne in the fallen heart and reigns in the midst of enemies. Christ calls sinners to pick up their cross and follow him, forsaking the world and walking on the narrow path. We are weak, and the way is too difficult for us without God's gracious gift of strength. In Christ we are made fruitful, and faith has the victory. Even when his saints are deprived of public means of grace, God sustains them. Like Jonah, we may backslide, and yet God can deliver us from total apostasy. In numberless ways, God works in us and around us, renewing us and shielding us. Chapter 5. Its Springs. It is essential to understand that perseverance is not separate from the rest of the divine work. In fact, when we understand God's nature and plan of salvation, we cannot help but see that the perseverance of the saints is a necessary entailment. God's love ensures this outcome, and we need to understand God's love in its biblical sense of being specially set upon the elect in Christ. It is a discriminating love that is focused on particular individuals. God's love is eternal and will never end. He loved his elect before he created the world, and he will love them through all of eternity future. God is immutable, so his being, purposes, and plan never change. When he gifts and calls, he does so irrevocably. This means that when God predestines his saints for salvation, there will be no change in what he has purposed. The covenant of redemption is an eternal covenant and cannot be annulled or amended. When we read the promises of God in his holy word, and we look at the successful work of our covenant mediator, there can be no doubt that all of God's chosen people will be saved in glory. God promises to give us his Spirit in such measure that we will not be defeated by the flesh, the world, or the devil. He is very gracious to his children, and he has promised that they will be like him, and they will see him as he is. The atonement provided by Christ pays for all of the sins of his people, and therefore they cannot be punished in themselves. None for whom Christ died can be condemned or separated from God. United with Christ, his resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. His indestructible life is the grounds for our eternal life. Christ promises that his followers will be raised up again on the last day. He is exalted to the right hand of the Father, with the power and authority to bring us to be with him where he is. Christ receives the inheritance and shares it with us. Even now he intercedes for us. Without this priestly intercession, none could persevere. But Christ will not fail in this work that was given to him by the Father. No one can adequately express the infinite, precious love of Christ, but none who experience it will ever be lost. Likewise, the Holy Spirit guarantees our final salvation, since he leads us, fills us, empowers us, and is a deposit and seal. He leads us and keeps us in the ways of God. None with the Spirit can be ultimately lost. Chapter 6. Its Blessedness. To understand some of the preciousness of this doctrine, think about how terrible it would be if it were not true. What if perseverance depended on our own strength and wisdom, and it was our goodness and will that make all the difference? What if we could love Christ today and yet still be damned in the end? Praise be to God that it is our Redeemer who redeems us and guarantees our final salvation. God calls, redeems, and blesses his people, giving them joy and hope. He works in them both to will and to do his good pleasure. The metaphor of the shepherd is so full of encouragement to helpless lambs. He is filled with omnipotent might, yet is also gentle and tender. Christ is the anchor of our soul, and we are to draw our comfort from him. When we are afraid, and when we are horrified by sin, the steadfast faithfulness of Christ is our hope. It is not our strength, but the competence of the mediator that matters. As believers mature, they come to rejoice in all that God is and all that he does. There are times when we are tempted to entertain hard thoughts about God, questioning his providence and government of our lives. At such times, remembering perseverance and our hope of glory is a great help. We may go through trials, but the Good Shepherd promised that not one of his sheep would perish. For elderly saints whose strength grows weak, this is a necessary truth for support and assurance as the day of their judgment draws nearer. For preachers and parents, this doctrine is a great comfort as young people go out into the world. Chapter 7. Its Perversion. We can clearly see the depravity of the human heart when we look at how people receive, treat, and pervert God's word. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints has been perverted in two ways. Some have rejected it entirely and argued that a Christian can lose their salvation. Others have maintained the glib slogan, "Once saved, always saved," and detached salvation from sanctification, the fruit of the Spirit, and perseverance in the faith. Perseverance is not given to everyone who professes, but only to those who are regenerate. There must be fruit and credible evidence of regeneration, or else the person is not saved. If we sever final salvation and perseverance from their place in the logic of God's purposes and work, we will not understand it. Those who love God will keep his commandments. In sanctification, there is a cooperation that must take place between the divine and human. It is God's power, but we must work and strive. Christians are fully responsible for maintaining their walk with the Lord. God treats us not as non-sentient beings, but as responsible moral agents. Perseverance in grace does not happen apart from the means which God has ordained. The biblical doctrine of justification does not exclude sanctification, but is part and parcel with it. If we are not sanctified, we cannot have fellowship with a holy God. In Christ, we received a holy nature and are indwelt by the Spirit. Christ is our Lord and Savior, but he is also our great example, and those who do not imitate him do not belong to him. If we do not walk in his footsteps, our verbal profession is hollow. Chapter 8, Its Safeguards. We need to preach this truth wisely and with discernment. Distinctions need to be made and issues clarified. Not everyone who thinks that they are a Christian are actually a follower of Jesus. We cannot presume upon the promise of perseverance and salvation if we do not have the right spiritual roots and visible fruit in our lives. If we do not walk with the Lord, following him in righteousness and demonstrating a holy character by our conduct, we have no right to imagine that we are saved. Those who are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light will be changed. We must insist that persevering in faith is absolutely necessary for salvation. Those who do not persevere cannot be saved. One of the tests of real Christianity is abiding in Christ. Those who do not persist in good works and well-doing demonstrate that they do not belong to the Lord. Only those who continue in faith to the end will experience glorification. There is no contingency on God's side of things. But in this world, we need to tell people that they are saved only if they persevere. There are real dangers to guard against and real temptations to overcome. Dangers can be testing grounds that separate the wheat from the chaff. The warnings in Scripture that we need to stand, be on guard, and take heed lest we fall are to be taken with the utmost seriousness. We see people fall away from their profession of faith, and this is sobering. The God who preserves his people in grace has also given means of grace, and we must point people to them and underscore the necessity of their use in God's economy. God promises grace, but he also commands us to do our duty. He ordains the end as well as the means, and those who fail with the means will not fail to secure the end. God promises us everlasting love and sufficient grace in all of our weakness, but he does not allow us to forsake him and return to wallowing in the filth of our sin. We must go to the throne of grace to receive the mercy and help that we desperately need. There are dreadful warnings in Scripture against those who continue in sin and who do not manifest righteousness, and these dire truths need to be proclaimed. Warning passages in Scripture are not meant to terrorize God's children, but they are used by him to keep us in self-examination and walking close by his side. They also show false professors the dangerous state that they are in. Admonitions and warnings, as well as promises of rewards, are used by God to keep his people walking with him, forsaking sin and clinging to Christ. Those who backslide should not be given assurance. We must insist on steadfastness in our walk. Chapter 9, Its Opposition. God's word does not allow us to conclude that a regenerated soul can commit final apostasy. Both Rome and sectors of Protestantism have opposed the doctrine of perseverance. Arminians continually set up a strawman version of the doctrine, then repudiate what they have misrepresented. Scripture does not teach that no matter how terrible one's sins are, and no matter how depraved one's lifestyle, a bare profession is sufficient for the gaining of heaven. God's word is emphatic that we are saved from our sins, and where there is saving faith, there is moral transformation. If we do not mortify our lusts and resist the devil, we are none of Christ's. Rather than encouraging careless living, this doctrine does the opposite. Rather than removing motivation for fighting sin, it empowers us in sanctified living. It puts force into the promises and warnings of God. Arminians often make their experience a higher authority than revealed truth. When rightly understood, this doctrine is greatly humbling and destroys our presumption and pride. As we have already seen, the doctrine of perseverance does not render means superfluous, nor does it make rewards meaningless. No one has ever been able to point to someone who was indisputably born again and then show that they lost their salvation. In fact, Scripture is clear that perseverance is one test of genuineness. Where people fall away in apostasy, they never belonged to God in the first place. There are multiple examples in Scripture of backsliding, falling away, and apostasy, but never does a regenerate person fall away into eternal damnation. Chapter 10. Its benefits. The truth of the perseverance of the saints gives us a cause to worship and adore God. It is a rock of security and a source of great comfort and peace for the believer. Despite our weaknesses, we do not need to fear the failure of God's infinite strength. When we see general apostasy around us and people falling away from the gospel, we do not need to fear that God's elect will be numbered in that company. Since it devastates our sinful pride, this doctrine can give us courage and confidence in God. No matter how fiery our trials, this doctrine can give us consolation. Even in the storm, we can praise. When we accept the biblical teaching on this subject, we will have a great motivating force for holy living, practical godliness, and conforming our lives to the image of Christ. The need of perseverance ought to keep us humble before the Lord and keep us in the use of God-given means of grace. Chapter 11, Conclusion. That for which we have contended throughout these chapters is steadfastness in holiness, constancy in believing, and in bringing forth the fruits of righteousness. Saving faith is something more than an isolated act. It is a spiritual dynamic, a principle of action, which continues to operate in those who are the favored subjects of it. Scripture tells us that the saints die in faith, and this faith is both justifying and sanctifying. Where vice and sin hold sway, there is no evidence of saving faith. But through the means of grace, we can continue on the narrow way that leads to life. When we have an accurate view of our sin, depravity, and weakness, we will understand why sovereign grace and power are necessary for our redemption. Sinners must be earnest in repentance, and we all need to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Only in Christ is there actually eternal security. Guard the truth and do not let it be perverted. In everything, magnify the grace of God and give him all the glory. Christ will not put out the smoking wick, so let us be compassionate and patient with those who are weak. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.